Well, good afternoon, everyone, and can I welcome you to the Planning Committee. Can I first of all take apologies for absence, please?
Apologies from Councillor Baird.
Okay, is there any other apologies? I think we're just about full house. That then takes us on to declarations of interest. Councillor Agate.
Thank you, Chair. I'll declare an interest on the last item of the agenda. With respect to the planning application, I sat on the board of the Social Housing Association that is going to be the owner of the property. I've been advised by the council solicitor that in itself, as I've resigned from the board, it's no longer a conflict, but I just don't feel comfortable being in a position where I've sat with on one board and made a decision and then sitting here and reviewing my own decision. So for that purpose, I'll leave at that point.
Okay, thanks very much indeed. Any other members got any other declarations of interest? Can I remind you that you can declare interest on any item as and when it comes up? Okay, I should have actually said order of business.
I set out on the agenda.
Yeah, and could members just note there's an additional paper being circulated regarding an appeal. I thought it was important to get the paper on today rather than waiting 6 weeks, given we've got 12 weeks to make a decision. All right, that then takes us on to the minutes of the previous meeting. For your approval, they approved.
Excuse me, Russell, I don't have a copy of that appeal decision notice.
It was emailed.
Was it emailed?
Oh,
there's something wrong with my iPad. It's not been working.
I hope, Councillor Johnson, you're not going to say there's something wrong with the electronic system.
I'm not getting emails at home.
It's all right. It's okay. I couldn't help that because there have been a number of us have been having great difficulties with the digital network systems that were supposed to be so easy to use. And I just couldn't help it. You gave me an opportunity and an opening to say so. But if you need the paper copy, Councillor Johnson, and we won't hold it against you and we won't tell Councillor Baird you got one. Okay, that then. I was saying minutes, are they okay? That was the 22nd of August. Are they okay? Agreed? Agreed. All right. Okay. 5.1, major applications. Peter.
Thank you, Chair. This is just your regular update in terms of where we are with the major applications that are currently in the system and that will come before the committee in due course. But if there's any questions, then I'll happily deal with them if I can.
Right, thanks very much. Open up to members of the committee. Any questions on any of the items that appear on that paper, by all means, ask now. But as Peter's already said, these will be coming up to the planning committee in due course. Councillor Haggett.
Thank you, Chair. I was just wondering, would it be possible when we get these to identify what's been added on? Because I know, there was a lot from the last paper, and I'm just wondering if that's easy enough to do.
Yes, Chair, I can adjust it to help there.
Yeah, take that as a yes. Okay, any other members got any questions? Nope. Okay, that then takes us on to 5.2, which is notes of appeals and local review body decisions. Again, Peter.
Thank you, Chair. This is your regular update again with regard to decisions made by the local review body. There's four decisions there for noting. We also update the committee on appeal decisions, and there was an appeal decision that came out yesterday, Chair, which is obviously after when the agenda was published, so that was circulated this morning. And that appeal decision related to lands north of Dalhousie Dairy, Bonnyrigg. This was an appeal for a housing scheme which the reporter has issued his notice of intention to grant planned permission subject to conditions and subject to the council and the applicant concluding a legal agreement to secure developer contributions. Because it was issued only yesterday, we've just unfortunately issued the paper now. Okay.
Okay, Councillor Mulligan.
Thanks, Chairman. Chairman, as you'll be aware, we've just been handed this appeal decision in the last sort of 25 minutes. And I'm going to say it's exceptionally worrying, having had my first chance to take a quick run through it. I'm sure officers will be able to correct me if I'm wrong. What this seems to set out is that the council will now have to allow development on site HS10 for around 300 houses, and yet the argument the council's put forward for a new school on the site has been dismissed. And therefore, what we seem to have been getting told here, and I'll quote you on the reporter's summary on this, there is no evidence before me that the landowner supports development of a primary school on the appeal site rather than housing. For these reasons, I do not place any significant weight on the suggestion that a primary school could be built on the site, and therefore dismiss that part of the appeal. So therefore, there's a great bit of weight on what the developers had to say. And for what I can see in the paper here, we're talking about 141 primary school children, and the reporter somewhat thinks that these can be accommodated in existing schools. They might want to tell us how we're going to bus these kids about the place to get them to the school, or are we simply going to have to change the catchment areas to all the other schools to be able to accommodate these youngsters in Botherick, because that looks like what he's suggesting in this appeal notice, is effectively that the current schools will be able to take this house building without any additional school capacity. I find it absolutely amazing that that could be the case, if that's what they're suggesting. I'd be quite happy to hear what the officers have to say on that. You also look at the area for the road layout. Probably the good news there is that the reporter seems to have accepted that the link road for the distributory and the bridge be kept in, and has kept that as a condition. So that's to be welcome. But you'll also note that he also keeps in a route through the existing housing development, something that I think residents in the area were quite clear on, that this was a long and protracted route through, and wasn't there something that was welcomed and would be seen as a shortcut of the area. However, it looks like they've kept that in. He then goes on to talk about, and it's something I would like the officers to maybe help us understand here. The Midlothian Health and Social Care Partnership and local residents have raised concern regarding the availability of local health facilities to serve the occupants of the development. The reporter goes on to say, however, I consider that broadly it is the responsibility of the health providers to ensure the services are in place to meet the needs arising for demographic change. And he finishes by saying, I do not consider that health considerations provide an adequate reason as a basis for dismissing this appeal. This is the Scottish Government's reporter. And he doesn't think that having an adequate, or at least adequate plans to provide health reasons is a reason to reject this. Chairman, I'm sorry, I haven't had time to digest this full report. To say that I'm kind of stunned by it is an understatement. But yet again, I think it just goes to show that effectively this council are in the hands of the others when it comes to developing. And if we didn't make sure to make these decisions yourself, we've left with decisions like this that completely leave us, or certainly leave me, trying to figure out how and where we're going to educate children, where people are going to go for their medical needs, and leaves us with a design that we think isn't what people want. And the reality is, for a bit of debate with the developers, I'm sure we could have got them to remove the link road. There are other additional areas in here, like the links to the cycle path, that have been dismissed that I find disappointing. But it's no something I'm going to get completely on high horse about. But I would just like to make the point, we've now having to take this development without any real say on this, when effectively this committee should have been dealing with this, and no, a Scottish Government reporter.
I'll just respond to that last comments that you made there, Councillor Mulligan, because like you, I always think it's better that the democratically elected body, i.e. this planning committee of the council, are the people that make these decisions and can amend plans, can put conditions on, etc., etc., so we have control of this. Unfortunately, the developer decided that enough was enough, and they went to appeal, and we had to fight that appeal. What I'm a bit sad about, and I've just had a quick word with Ian is one of the points he makes that the authority had plenty of time to look at education because the emerging local plan knew that these sites would be coming into being. And again, it put us back on the back foot. So he dismisses it on the basis that, you know, if you haven't done that, tough. Now, that's unfortunate. It's unfortunate for me that we've got ourselves into this position. We've got 12 weeks, I think, from the clock ticking to get this sorted out with regard to Section 75 agreement. I just now hope that we can get something that's actually meaningful, that we can actually be in a position to at least extract, as he says, the developer contributions that we need to extract to get something done about a school and not buy that time, because we don't have a lot of time to actually get a solution to the borrowing situation. Peter, do you want to just maybe comment on some of the other aspects that Councillor Logan raised? Thanks.
Yes, Chair. I mean, most of the points that Councillor Milligan was obviously correct, just lifted from the report, so I'll not dispute those. In terms of just a bit more clarification on the education issue, as Councillor Milligan said, the report has concluded that in the short term there is capacity within the system, but that is in the short term. The report is still picking up that as you move forward, and I think it's referenced in 2024, that there's capacity year 2024, that then there becomes capacity issues. So you still require the developer to make contributions towards a solution which needs to be delivered. So the report is basically saying, look, we accept that you need to take contributions from the developer. We're aware that you're going to have an education solution for Bonnie Rig, which also picks up issues from this site, but you've got time to do that before you reach that critical point. So that's what he's saying there. In terms of the transport issue, you're correct. He's made a commitment to the crossing of the Pittendreek Burn, but he's also made reference that the access via Harmony Crescent and Gladstone Gate should be available, but he does say that's post-construction, i.e. kind of construction vehicles going through there. So that's what he said on that item. And not sure there's much more I can say about the NHS or the medical provision, insofar as I know this committee has discussed it before in terms of there's a remit to maybe take contributions towards physical infrastructure, but it's not within the gift of the planning authority or the planning decisions to resolve the provision of resource in terms of GPs and other medical staff. So that is an ongoing issue, which the report again has just reinforced isn't for the planning system.
Thanks, Councillor Mulligan. Councillor Smale first.
The implication of there being no allocation within the site for a school and indeed a surgery is that perhaps we need to look for an exemplarily higher Section 75 contribution so the council is in a position to buy the necessary land and indeed in due course build these facilities or contribute to them.
I think, Chair, there's the basic principle of developer contributions being based on mitigating the impact of the development. So a development will create a particular demand and need, so you take a contribution to meet that. I think what the reporter is saying about the school in terms of its siting, he's taking the position that through this application you can't impose the delivery of a school on the site. He's not saying necessarily that the council can't go away separately and negotiate with the developer to put the school here or somewhere else. As you're aware from the council meeting last week in terms of moving the learning estate strategy forward, it identified the need for a school in that part of Bonnyrigg to replace Lastway Primary School, but it didn't identify the exact site. So, because the council hasn't got to that position yet, you can maybe understand why the reporter can't impose that, because the council hasn't reached that point yet itself.
The report may not impose any particular situation, but surely this is an opportunity for us to get much more Section 75 contribution than would otherwise have been the case.
Yeah, I mean... Chair, it comes down to we have to just demonstrate. I'm not disputing the point. I'm just saying we've just got to demonstrate that we're asking for a contribution which mitigates the impact of the development. So we can't necessarily artificially add on an extra cost because of a situation which is maybe not a consequence of this development. Just to give you an idea, for example, a scheme like this, and we're looking at approximately about £25,000 a dwelling house as a developer contribution on the site here. There's many authorities across Scotland which are still in single digit, sort of £6,000-£7,000 a unit. It's actually for a house builder to build across Scotland. Midlothian is actually one of the most expensive places in terms of developer contribution, and that's because the scales we are taking. So we are literally pushing it to the boundaries to take as much as we can physically take.
Councillor Mulligan, you indicated you wanted to come back.
Yeah, Russell, I'll maybe add to the health stuff that Peter's just raised there. It's quite clear in section 5.1 that the reporter has ruled out any contribution at this stage. While he does say that he's not going to rule out completely the responsibility of seeking developer contribution, he's not aware of any mechanism in place in Midlothian to provide for this. So the reality is we're now negotiating with a gun at our head, so we're not in a better position. We're in a far worse position. But I want to come back on what Peter says about the education needs, because as far as I'm reading this, and I might be reading it wrong, Peter, as I say, I've just had a quick sketch over. Well, you're talking about there isn't a need for additional primary school capacity. According to the report, I've been told 2023-2024, what is that then goes on to say is additional capacity provided in HS 12 could provide for that. So therefore, what he's actually saying is that unless I'm reading this wrong, that there's no provision for a school. Now, keep in mind, sites HS 10 and HS 12 are at the exact furthest opposite sides that you can get in the town. So therefore, the only way you would have it doing that is to actually start changing catchment areas in nearly every school to accommodate this, or else that you're going to have kids walking from the very bottom of Bonnerigg past two primary schools to get to the third one. And he also talks about actually using up capacity in the new Hopefield site to try and accommodate the children coming for this site up until 2024. Now, again, we're talking about a healthy distance well away from schools, and you're passing one, two primary schools to have to get there. It just seems to me is madness.
I think, Councillor Mulligan, that what you want to do is get yourself into the officers post-meeting just to sit down and let's see what we can get within the 12-week period we've got to ensure that this is a smooth way forward, or as smooth as possible. But I do accept that the reporter has put us in a bit of a position that we don't dictate and determine. We've got limited negotiating powers to actually say yea or nay to this, because we've got to come up with a solution, or we'll end up with no 6 and 75, and they'll end up getting the houses. So I'm aware of that as well. So I would think that we might want to take this one offline and deal with it with the officers. Okay, right. That then takes us on to 5.3, which is a pre-planning application for Gordridge, Stob Hill.
Thank you, Chair. This is a report regarding a pre-application consultation regarding a mixed-use development comprising residential and commercial uses and the demolition of the Stob Hill Depot at land bounded by the A7, Stob Hill Road and the Pentland Avenue at Gore Bridge. The purpose of this report is to afford members the opportunity to make comment on the proposals at this very early stage of the planning process, in line with the guidance reported to committee at its meeting in June 2017. The applicants are currently engaging in a pre-application consultation exercise, which includes holding a public dropping session, which was on the 14th of September at the National Mining Museum. The report outlines a provisional planning consideration with regard to development plan and material considerations. The development plan identifies the site as comprising land within the built-up area. This is a land which is currently occupied by the Stob Hill Depot, and the rest of the site as an economic land allocation. The demolition and appropriate redevelopment of the depot site could be acceptable, and business uses rather than housing should be encouraged on the economic land allocation. However, it is worth noting this consideration is based on the indicative information available at present. A detailed assessment of any proposal will be made if a planning application is forthcoming. The applicant could submit a planning application once the consultation period is concluded. The recommendation set out in the report and requires that the provisional planning permission be noted and that any comments made by members will form part of the minute of the committee meeting, and that the expression of a provisional view does not fetter the committee in its consideration of any subsequent formal planning application.
Okay, thanks very much for that, Peter. Open up to any members that want to make any comment at this point. Councillor Johnson.
Thank you. When you look on the map page about the whole redevelopment, the access road to the recycling depot is part of the land to be redeveloped. So will there be another entrance to the recycling?
It's too early to say at this stage, Chair. We haven't got any more details than what we've outlined. I think at this stage the applicant's just looking for an initial maybe view in terms of how the council feels about some introducing residential act sort of land uses into that area, as well as economic land uses. But in terms of the access that currently feeds the recycling centre, if there's to be another access point or a change in the access arrangements, that would be subject to details coming forward, but I don't have any at this time.
Anyone else got any questions, Councillor Muirhead?
Having attended the sort of public consultation element of this up at the Mining Museum, there were indicative drawings available at that point that envisaged access to that site coming in from the A7. You know, so up the side, basically up the side of it, up there and coming in and round and in. Coming from the main road, and I think there might have been actually an entrance potentially via the actual site itself, but that was pretty much just indicative example drawings that they were making available to people, just to give them something a wee bit more than just a simple outline.
So we're quite happy to note where we are at the moment in the way of the detailed application coming in. Sorry, Councillor Johnson.
I'm not sure if this is, well, whatever. I think when people are going out and doing the consultations, they are very vague about what could be happening, and that's to demonstrate that this is a clean sheet. It's whatever the community wants, but that makes people get really agitated that there's going to be some underhanded business going on, and I think we need to be very careful of how we conduct these consultations, because the vagueness is worrying people.
Okay, Councillor Johnson, I'll get Ian Johnson to come in and just respond to that.
Just to say, Chair, that this piece of land is a smaller part of a larger area, which includes the Lady Victoria on the other side of the road, which is part of a master planning exercise currently undertaken, funded by the Borders Rail Initiative. And the Council is absolutely right that there is an element, there's always that difficult balance between having a blank sheet of paper and saying, well, what would you like to see as a community, and perhaps giving some indication of what the community might want to look at and chew on and respond to. I think the issue here is essentially, without obviously going beyond the boundaries into what will become a planning application at some point, maybe, is that the basis for this master planning work by Borders Rail programme with the local community is to look at how can engender greater economic development and bringing jobs into this part of the area, into Newton Grange. And one of the issues which they're wrestling with is the potential of the need for some form of enabling development, potentially housing, to be part of that. And I think what this is about testing the water in terms of the planning authority to see how they feel about the introduction of those other uses into what is an area allocated for economic development.
Right. Does that help just now, Councillor Johnson? I do take your point that sometimes people don't believe you if you come out with a blank sheet of paper because they think you've got another agenda. So I do accept what you're saying. So quite happy to let this one go forward, and we'll deal with it in due course. Okay, that then takes us on to the 5.4, which again is a pre-application report. Peter.
Thank you, Chair. Again, this is a report regarding a pre-application consultation This is regarding a proposed mixed-use development comprising retail, finance, professional and other services, food and drink, business, residential and non-residential institutions on land to the north of Harden Green House, Dalkeith. The purpose of this report again affords the members an opportunity to make comment at these early stages if it wishes to do so. The applicants had scheduled to have a public drop-in session, but for reasons I'm not being told, they've had to defer that, but they will hold a session in due course, and they will be notifying the council and the local community when that will take place. But they won't be able to submit an application until they've actually been through that process. In terms of the planning merits of it, the majority of the site is identified as economic land, as set out in the adopted local plan and the proposed Midlothian local plan. The development plan supports businesses on this part of the site, but the other proposed uses are out with that economic land allocation. The southernmost part of the site is identified as being in the Greenbelt, where there is no policy support for the proposed uses identified. However, again, it's worth noting that this is very early stages and is only based on the indicative information which is available at present, and a detailed assessment of any proposals will be made once a plan application is forthcoming. Again, the recommendations are set out in the report, Chair.
Okay, again, open it up for members. Councillor Hackett.
Thank you, Chair. Perhaps to kill out an interest on this one as well. I live right near the site, but I would just kind of question, or a question I have, is about how the shops, etc., would detract from our policy of encouraging this sort of development in town centres. I'd be concerned as well about some of the traffic. There's already complaints from local residents about the traffic that goes down Dalhousie Road. There's no restrictions. People are travelling past that site already at 40, 50 miles an hour. So it's sort of what more traffic and more congestion will do for that area. I can't think of anything else at this stage.
Thanks, Councillor Hackett. These comments will be taken into consideration by the officers if and when a buying application comes in. Has anybody got anything further on this particular one? Councillor Smail, I see you hovering.
I think a vulnerability of this site is its proximity to the car park for S Bank Station. Now, the car park at presently is very rarely fully occupied, but if the numbers build for the Borders Railways, as needs to be the case for it to become viable one day, I think it's very important that this development has adequate parking of its own. Otherwise, as we've discovered, for example, at Musselburgh, you end up with the car park being used for other uses.
Again, Peter, take that into account. Thanks. Okay, that then takes us on to item 5.5, which is an application that was in front of us at the last meeting that was continued to see if we could get some resolution outside of the Planning Committee meeting. Peter, over to you.
Thank you, Chair. This is an application for the partial change of use of land and buildings for a wedding events business at 32A Dam Head. The site is within the grounds of the Secret Herb Garden, an established horticultural business including a plant nursery and ancillary cafe and retail outlet. The application was originally reported to the Planning Committee at its meeting in June 2017, but was deferred for a site visit to take place. The committee site visit took place on the 17th of August. At its meeting on the 22nd of August, the committee deferred consideration of the application to enable officers to contact the interested parties to see if a consensus could be reached regarding planning conditions which could potentially mitigate the impact of the proposed development. The applicant, their agent, the Damhead and District Community Council and the representatives were contacted and invited to make comment on a sort of without prejudice basis on conditions which were originally drafted by officers. The responses and the comments are set out in the report. The outcome of the process is that there is still a clear division between those parties who support the application and those who continue to object to the application. The site operators have been holding wedding ceremonies and wedding receptions within the buildings and grounds of the horticultural business without the required planning permission, and they are therefore applying retrospectively to retain the partial change of use. The venue is accommodating up to 100 guests and includes live and amplified music. The site is within the countryside where there can be support for those businesses which have a clear correlation to their rural location and do not detrimentally affect the amenity of the area and other local residents. However, in this case, the nature of the use, which introduces noise and disturbance in a rural location late into the night, is unacceptable because of its adverse impact on the neighbouring residents. In assessing the application, the primary considerations are development plan policies, transportation issues, the wedding event's impact on the character of the area, and the development's impact on the amenity of other local residents. The retrospective nature of the application is not a consideration in assessing the planning application. There have been 16 representations, 7 of which object to the application and 9 support the application. The details of the representations and the additional comments are outlined in the report. The Damhead Community Council have objected to the application and their comments are set out in paragraphs 5.4 to 5.6 of the June report and paragraph 3.6 of the updated report. Since the June committee, the wedding events have continued throughout the summer and have continued to take place approximately one a weekend. And during that period, the council has continued to receive complaints regarding noise and disturbance. The recommendation, despite the communication with interested parties, is still to refuse the planning application, Chair.
Okay, thanks very much indeed, Peter. I'm afraid planning committee that we went out there last month hoping that we could get a resolution to this. Clearly that hasn't been able to be achieved, so it's back to us to make a decision. It's now been up 3 times, or this is the 3rd time today, so I really do think we need to make a decision on this one, whatever that decision happens to be. So I'll open it up to members and start the discussion. Councillor Russell.
Thank you, Chair. Just to see a wee bit of clarity after reading the report, on page 30 and 31, the obviously discussions had been taking place, as you rightly say, and that the conditions had been laid down, and this was discussed with the applicant and with the Damhead and District Community Council. And the applicant had agreed, I'm just reading this, the report, the applicant had agreed with the majority of the draft conditions but suggested some amendments. And the Damhead and District Community Council, it was broadly in agreement, and they were suggesting that permission be granted for a temporary 2-year period to allow a review of the situation once this had been operational, with proposed restrictions, and any permission is limited to the applicant only. And obviously, you know, seek a commitment to any conditions being enforced. That then being the case, there seems to be some sort of agreement happening here, but you're saying at the end of the day there isn't any agreement and the officers are recommending refusal.
Yeah, Peter, could you maybe clarify to the committee what you meant by still opposing?
Yeah, Chair, I think there's a number of things that are going on here. I think in terms of, if you speak to the objectors, and for a minute I'm not including the Community Council, but the objectors to this application, they're still objecting. They're still concerned that this development has an impact on their amenity and their quality of life because of the noise and disturbance. That's their position. They have made comments about the conditions on the basis that, look, we still object to this and we're still concerned about it, but if we're allowed to make comment, we'll add to the process and make comment. It doesn't mean to say they're not objecting, it just means they're contributing. I suppose in terms of the Damhead Community Council, the original report set out that they objected to the application, but again, because they're faced with a situation where we're providing them with some potential conditions to comment on, they're saying, okay, let's move on and make comment on those applications. So although parties are making contributions to that, their position, we're being told, is not changing. So those people that originally objected are still objecting, and those people that are supporting are still supporting it. We're not going to get to a point where everyone around the table is going to say agree one way or the other.
Is that okay, Councillor Russell? Not really. What it means is the objectors are objecting, but if it was to go through, they would look. They were looking at the conditions and saying what they liked and what they didn't like on the basis of, well, if it is going to go through, at least we want these conditions and we want them adhered to. I think that's what's been said. So the way the report is, I read it the first time and thought, like yourself, that, oh, that's both parties agreeing that. But I was assured by the planning manager that that isn't the case. There is still two sides to the argument. Mr. Cassidy.
So, in other words, they want their wedding cake and they want to eat it. They want to have a say in the process, but they don't want the permission.
Yes, and if you use the cafe up there, you probably will get your cake and eat it.
Chair, just to be fair to both sides that have made contributions, we're obviously have approached them to invite them to make contributions, so we've just tried to engage them. So I don't think it's a case of wanting a cake and eating it as such, they're just engaging the process.
Okay, can we make a decision on this particular application, please? Councillor Perry.
Thank you, Chair. I think this being the third meeting, I mean, it's a really frustrating process. I'm sure it is for all councillors who have now become very detailed on this particular case, and certainly I know as local ward members, I would say, you know, the correspondence is about 50% objecting and 50% supporting, and it's really difficult because some of those people that are very supportive of this are the people that live closest to it, and so it's very difficult, but I do appreciate the work that's went on with the applicants, the objectors and the planning department to put together the proposals and the conditions that are on page 34, 35 and 36, at least on the iPad version. And some of those conditions, certainly on first reading, look really strict. But I appreciate that there's a process that's been went through and that, you know, if it is going to pass, then these are the things that we should do, and I think it's right and proper that there is some sort of review on that and that it's something that we keep an eye on, and I think the community would agree with that as well. However, I don't agree with the recommendations not to go forward. I think there's been a lot of work put in by this committee, the community and the applicants and obviously the planning team as well to just chuck this into the long grass. So I would move that the planning is taken forward and it's not refused and, as per the recommendations. And similarly, recommendation 4.2 as well, which is that an enforcement notice be issued regarding the cessation of unauthorised uses of the land as well. I don't think that that's an appropriate recommendation if we do agree to go forward with my proposed recommendation. So I'm happy that there is some sort of review. I think that's what people are looking for, and I'm happy to leave it at that.
So what you're doing is you're moving grants subject to the conditions laid out in the paper. OK, thanks. Right, is there a seconder for that? Councillor Russell.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, happy to second the grant and permission on the conditions that are laid out. As has been said, some of these conditions are quite strict, but probably appropriate under the circumstances with the strength of feeling that there is an area. I don't think we were ever going to get to some sort of compromise here, but these conditions hopefully will reassure the objectors that the local authority has taken this seriously and looking at it and will enforce these conditions quite robustly if anything goes awry. So with that, I'm happy to second.
OK, thanks very much, Councillor Russell. Councillor Hackett.
If I could ask a question, Chair, it's just how these conditions would be enforced and how do residents get in touch with the local authority to complain about breaches?
Yeah, Chair, I mean, in terms of these conditions, like other conditions on other consents, the planning authority is predominantly reactive, so you receive complaints or inquiries from members of the public, and we respond to those by investigating alleged breaches of planning control. And if you're investigating a complaint, you will work your way through the conditions to see which ones they're compliant with or not compliant with. We do, however, do some proactive monitoring of particular sites if they turn Authority are particularly sensitive, so that may be a case here. And it's not just the Planning Authority. My environmental health colleagues, for example, help monitor noise levels and stuff like that, so it's across the council. So it's predominantly reactive insofar as if the activity continues and we receive complaints, we then have to say, right, there's obviously a problem. We'll work our way through these conditions and make sure they're complying with them.
Right. Is there anybody otherwise minded? Would you like to move? Well, are you going to move the report?
Councillor Emery, I'd like to move a counter motion, bearing in mind the balance of advantage and the problems that the community feel about this. I think that the numbers should be restricted, at least for a couple of years, to 60, which conforms, I believe, to the licensing position, but also would help to alleviate the problem of road access and the problem of noise and the question of the barn capacity.
Okay, thanks, Councillor Smeal. So you're accepting grant, but with another condition. Can I have a seconder for that, please? Councillor Winchester. Councillor, are you prepared as the mover and Councillor Russell as the seconder to accept that additional condition? And the answer is no, right? Okay. Right. That's a competent motion, so there's a competent motion as well. Is there any other motions? Councillor Curran.
Chair, can I just clarify the difference between Councillor Parry's and Councillor Smale's?
Chair, if I can, motions. If I can help. On page 34, where we look at the conditions that were prepared, condition 3 makes reference to the number of events being limited to 20. I think Councillor Smale said change that 20 to 16.
No, you mishear. As it stands, if I understand correctly, and I'm open to be corrected, they're talking about a limit of 100 at these events. And I'm suggesting, in line with the capacity of the barn and previous objections by the Community Council, that the limit be 60.
Okay, right. I'll put it to the vote. Those in support of Councillor Parry's motion, which is to grant permission with the conditions set out within the papers that have been circulated, please show. Okay. Sorry. Those supporting Councillor Smale, which is to grant permission with the amended condition 6 being reduced from 100 to 60, please show. Okay, the original motion, which is to grant planning permission with the conditions on the order paper, is carried. Right, thanks very much. And thanks for your forbearance on this particular issue. It is quite emotive. That then brings us on to item 5.6, which is the application at Mayfield. Goodbye, Councillor Hackett.
Thank you, Chair. This is an application for the erection of 20 flatted dwellings, formation of car park and associated works at land at the former Mayfield Inn, Bogwood Road, Mayfield. The application comprises a block of 20 affordable flats, 20 car parking spaces, cycle storage and a refuge store. The proposed building is 3 and 4 storeys and of varying heights. It is of a traditional form with modern detailing and will be finished in white render, grey brick, zinc cladding and dark grey roof tiles. The site is within the built-up area of Mayfield and within its town centre, where there is a presumption in favour of appropriate redevelopment. The site comprises the former Mayfield Inn, which ceased trading in December 2013, and despite the site being on the market, it remains vacant. No alternative commercial or town centre-based uses have come forward. On this basis, a residential use can be considered acceptable and is compatible with the nearby residential properties. The layout and design of the building provides a strong and attractive frontage to the town centre at Bogwood Court and to Bogwood Road. And the height and form of the building sits comfortably with its setting. There have been two representations, one of which objects to the application and the other supporting the application, albeit from the landowner. The details of the representations are set out in section 6 of the report. The recommendation is to grant planning permission subject to conditions and the prior signing of a legal agreement within 6 months to secure developer contributions.
Thank you very much, Peter. Open up to committee for the deliberations. I'm quite happy. Oh, Councillor Smale, sorry.
Mayfield Community Council also have objected to this, and I believe it was then re-presented. And although their views are certainly duplicated by In It Together Partnership, I think we ought to record that there is more objection to this than the grounds that it compromises the redevelopment of the commercial aspects of the town centre of Mayfield. One of the thoughts I have on this is that there might be some compromise position whereby it's a ground floor unit or two in the development is retained for retail use, perhaps a coffee shop or whatever. I don't know whether we are competent, however, to guide the applicant in such a way.
Chair, a couple of things there. Just to be clear, it's my understanding that maybe the Mayfield Community Council objected to it. There was a previous scheme which was withdrawn because there was a body of objection to it. So this is an amended scheme with an improved design. So I wasn't aware that the Mayfield Community Council had objected to this current one, but I'm happy to stand corrected if that's the case, Chair. The other point is in terms of if the committee is minded to refuse the scheme on the basis that it would rather have commercial units then, and obviously we can take that point away and pursue that with the applicants. But I suppose there's a two-step process there. There's assess the current application and then the sort of follow-on conversation. One of the things I would say, though, is it's worth bearing in mind, again, this site has been vacant for a period of time. There wasn't much interest in occupying the site. I know there has been challenges filling some of the other retail units across the Mayfield Town Centre over the years. So even if that's an aspiration, which sounds like a good aspiration, I'm not necessarily sure that's actually viable and can be delivered. I think it's a case of the application coming forward. It's been proposed on the basis of just being flats. We've assessed it. We've recommended an approval, but it's not to take away from the advice or the consideration.
I'm going to move that we support the application on the basis, and we note that the Mayfield Community Council have had a comment to make, and I think we do that for the record. However, this is 20 affordable housing, and we talk here in bucket loads of our recommendations that we want to see people in a rented accommodation where possible because our waiting lists continue to grow. If we had time and opportunity, there may have been a design where you do have retail on the ground floor. I know they have done that in various areas of Edinburgh, and in two or three years later, when the boards are still up, people come in to convert them into flats. So I'm aware of that. If you've got an end user, it's a lot easier, but in this case, it's 20 affordable housing, and I just feel the merits of getting this developed, a piece of land it's sat there for quite a number of years with no retail interest or business interest coming in here. I think there's an opportunity to put 20 flats in there and get 20 people off the housing waiting list. So I'm going to move approval of the application that's in front of us. Is there a seconder for that? Lots. Right, okay. Right, fine. Is there anybody otherwise minded? No. Okay, that approved. Right, thanks very much. And thanks very much for your attendance and attention.